Okay, so good evening, sisters and brothers in the Dharma. Tonight, I'd like to share with you the power of the mind. One day, I would like to quote one story from Sanyutta Nikaya first. A deva, a deity, approached the Buddha and asked question. He asked, "By what is the world led around? By what is it dragged here and there? By what is it, by what all under its control?" And the Buddha answered, "By mind is the world led around. By mind is it dragged here and there. By mind, all is under its control." So from Buddha's answer, we know the power of the mind. However, the power of the mind is unknown to many people, right? Today I'm going to reveal to you the power of the mind. So when we talk about the mind, mind can be categorized, mind can be divided into two categories. One is called wholesome mind, another one is called unwholesome mind. Wholesome mind is associated with all beautiful mental factors. For example, loving kindness, compassion, wisdom, concentration, faith, and so on. An unwholesome mind is associated with all unwholesome mental factors like jealousy, anger, greed, delusion, sloth and torpor, restlessness, and so on. And the wholesome mind is called kusala in Pali. Why is it called kusala? Kusala, because it is praiseworthy and productive of happy result. And unwholesome mind is called akusala. It is called akusala because it is blameworthy and productive of unpleasant result. Okay. And the wholesome mind can produce wholesome energy inside the body as well as outside the body. So to understand this, I would like to tell a little bit the teaching of Abhidhamma first. Okay. So in the teaching of the Abhidhamma, every mental state, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, can produce a group of rupa kalapa. Rupa kalapa is Pali word, is called particles. So every state of mind can produce a group of particles, and we call matter produced by mind. Inside this group of particles, there is one element called fire element. Right? Let's say now I radiate loving kindness meditation. So the state of my mind is wholesome. And this loving mind can produce a group of particles inside my body. And this group of particles is healthy, very healthy, because it is produced by wholesome mind. And inside this group of particles, there's one element called fire element. And this fire element has the capacity, can produce another generation of particles. And these particles can travel out from the body and can travel far, very far away, depend on the power of your mind. If your power of loving kindness is strong, or your power of the concentration and wisdom is strong, and this energy, this group of particles produced by fire originated from the mental state, can travel very far. And it can reach other person, other beings, and it has very soothing effect on others. And also can transform other people's aggressive behavior to become more gentle. So let me give an example, the Buddha's example. The Buddha's cousin, Devadatta. Devadatta has evil wish. He want to take over Buddha's position. So one day, he has the intention to kill the Buddha. So one day, he feed the elephant, Nalagiri elephant. He feed him alcohol, and this Nalagiri elephant become drunk, and lose his consciousness. So when Buddha came with a follower, many of his disciple, and Devadatta let loose this drunk elephant to attack the Buddha. And so when this Nalagiri elephant rushed towards the Buddha, and Buddha immediately radiate loving kindness towards this drunk elephant, violent elephant. And when Buddha radiate this loving kindness, this is a wholesome state of the mind. And this wholesome state of the mind can produce matter produced by mind in a group of particles. And this group of particles, there's one element called fire element. This fire element can generate another group of particles, rupa kalapa. And the second group, second generation of particles, inside that also fire element. And that fire element also can produce another group of particles. So keep on generating. And this group of particles can travel very far. So when Buddha radiate his loving kindness, so these particles, we call it energy for common, use common language. This energy, wholesome energy, travel and reach this elephant. And since it's produced by wholesome state of the mind, therefore it has very soothing effect. And this soothing effect, when it reach the drunk or this violent elephant, immediately it can transform or soothe its aggressiveness. And the elephant immediately become tame. And suddenly this elephant stop in front of the Buddha without attacking the Buddha. Just stop in front of him without taking any action. Therefore, from this incident, you can see how the power of the mind generated by wholesome state of the mind can protect us from the dangers and harm. Not only that, it also has very strong positive and soothing effect on the other party. It can transform the other party's behavior. And we all have this power. We just need to develop it, cultivate it. You may say that, oh, only Buddha has this power. not to us. It sounds impossible. Then I would like to relate to you one of my experiences. I'm also an ordinary person, right? So when I was in Malaysia, I lived in a forest. So one day in the midnight, I woke up because there are many, so many black, tiny ants all over my body, bite me. So it's so painful. Therefore, I woke up at the midnight. And when I realized there are so many ants crawling all over my body, and as a monastic, I cannot kill. I cannot kill the tiny ants. So I tried to pick one by one the ants off my body, but too many. I cannot handle it. And the bite is so painful, my skin immediately become inflamed. So finally, I want to use the power of my loving kindness. So I radiate loving kindness to all this ant who bite me. So may all this ant be well and happy. May all this ant be well and happy. I think within 1 minute or 1 to 3 minutes, all the ants, except two ants who are slow receiver of my who are slow receiver of my loving kindness, still bite me. And the rest of the ants stop biting me. So at that time, although I was bitten by this, the two slow receiver ants, I cannot feel the pain as I felt before. Yeah, I wonder, before that, the ants also bite me. Now these two ants also bite me. Why I cannot feel the pain? Then I realized, because at that moment, my mind is at wholesome state. Because I am radiating loving kindness to all these ants. So when my mind is at wholesome state, I cannot feel any pain inflicted on my body. So this is the magic of the mind. And from this incident, I suddenly realized, if you have read the Buddha's past life story, where he practiced the 10 paramis, the 10 perfections, you know, so when he practiced 10 perfection, then he got to endure many pains inflicted on him. Sometimes people cut his limb, or cut his nose, cut his ear, and yet he still wish other people well and happy. At that time, I was puzzling. I feel I cannot understand why the Bodhisattva cannot feel the pain while his limb was chopped off. Until I experienced it myself. You know, when I experience myself, that when my mind is at wholesome state, then you cannot feel any pain that was inflicted on you. So I suddenly understand, no? Why when the Bodhisattva, when he was injured or when he was hurt by other people, he didn't feel the strong pain because his mind is engaged in wholesome state, in wholesomeness, and his mind is only thinking of other people's welfare and benefit. Therefore, he cannot feel the pain inflicted by other people onto himself. This is the magic of the mind, the power of the mind. Okay, another incident I would like to relate to you is a monk's story. There's a Thai monk living in the forest. He practiced Tudong, ascetic. He slept in the forest under the umbrella. And in the deep forest, there are so many tiger, wild animals. So one day he went out from his umbrella and took a lantern with him. So after a few steps, suddenly he hear a roar of tiger from his front direction. Then he was so afraid. He want to turn, he quickly turned. And when he turned, he heard another roar of tiger from the back direction. And he was in the middle. At the time he said, "My goodness, I'm going to die. There are two tigers, one in front and one at the back." So at this time, he feel that, no, I should trust the power of my mind. So he put aside the fear of death. Don't think of fear of death. And quickly, he focused his mind on his breath, just like you have focused your mind on the breath just now, right? So he focused his mind on the breath and put aside the fear of death. And at that moment, because death is approaching, there's no restless, there's no wandering thought. He does not allow any restlessness or wandering thought to invade his mind, because death is approaching. Cannot think of other things. So just focus the mind on the breath. So soon he enter into deep concentration. And he forget the time, he forget the environment, he forget the danger. And when he finished his meditation, standing, while holding the lantern, standing, enter into deep concentration, he said, don't know how long. When he emerged from his concentration, he feel that he's still standing and the light's already off and he's safe. No harm and danger fall upon him because of his power of concentration. So this power of concentration, our power of the mind, can protect us from harm and danger. Okay, so these are the few instances how through the wholesomeness of the mind we can protect ourselves. And another instance is through this power of the mind we can heal ourselves, or we can heal ourselves from the sickness. No need to go to hospital. Okay, let me relate to you one of my experiences. Okay, one day, I think many years ago, I was in Himalaya, India, and I have this mountain sickness, right, that caused me strong headache, very strong headache. And as a practitioner, I contemplate this headache, this pain is impermanent, but it looks so permanent, right? And I just, okay, impermanent doesn't work. So I contemplate, not myself, this pain is not myself, not self, but I really feel the pain. It seems it's I feel the pain. So this contemplation of a non-self also doesn't work. Finally, I say, okay, let me try compassion meditation, one after another. So I try compassion meditation. I take this headache as object, right? And say, since I suffer from this strong headache, I don't want other beings suffer the same as I suffer. Therefore, I take this headache as object, and I wish all beings be free from this headache. Now I suffer. May all beings be free from this headache. I now suffer. Within very short time, I think 3 minutes or less than 3 minutes, I can see the pain inside my head, how it subsides. I can see it very clearly. Like under the microscope. I can see the one line that caused pain suddenly go through my head and subside. So you see, the power of compassion immediately heal my headache. Another incident is in when I was in Los Angeles. At the time, I was conducting a retreat. And after the third day, in the midnight, I have strong pain below my stomach. Acute pain below my stomach. It's so painful. Whatever contemplation I use cannot work. So finally, I think of this compassion meditation again. So I put my hand on this on the pain, and I radiate the same compassion because I suffer this pain. It's strong pain, and I don't want to trouble other people to send me to hospital because it's acute pain. I should go to emergency unit at that time, but I say forget it. I want to heal myself using the power of my own mind. So I put one of my hand on this pain, on this lower abdomen, and same thing. Because I suffer from this pain, then I generate the wish, may all beings be free from the suffering I now experiencing. Again and again, I generate this wish. May all beings be free from the suffering I now endure. After a few minutes, I fell asleep. Although the pain is so severe, I fell asleep. When you fell asleep, you don't feel anything at all, right? Then I sleep until tomorrow morning. When I wake up, the pain almost subsides already. No more, only 10% left. So this compassion meditation, I use it very often when I have sickness in my body. When I cannot endure that pain, then I use this compassion meditation to heal myself. And today, I give this gift to you. Please use it. When you have strong pain in the body or any sickness in the body, you can use this to heal yourself first before you go and see doctor. Okay? If it doesn't work, then only you go and see doctor. If it works, then you don't have to go. Okay. So these are the power of the mind. The power of the mind can protect us from the harm and danger that fall upon us. Or the power of the mind can heal ourselves from the sickness. Okay, so this is the wholesome state of the mind. How about the unwholesome state of the mind? Right. Unwholesome state of the mind also can produce a group of particles. And inside that, we call matter produced by mind. Inside that group of particles, inside one particle, there is fire element. And this fire element can produce new generation of particles. And this particles can travel far and reach the other person. And since it's produced by unwholesome mind, therefore it has very negative effect on others. And before I tell how it can affect others, I would like to talk about a little bit the force of attraction. I call it the force of attraction. This my calling. It's not in the sutta. I call it the force of attraction. One day, when the Buddha was on top of the hill with Venerable Ananda, and he saw not far away Venerable Sariputta, his great disciple. With a group of people following the Venerable Sariputta. And the other side, there is Venerable Moggallana with a group of followers. And another side, there is Devadatta, his cousin, Devadatta with a group of followers. And Buddha told Ananda, he said, Ananda, please see. This group of people follow Venerable Sariputta because they all incline to wisdom. Those who follow Venerable Moggallana are people who incline to psychic power. And those who follow Devadatta are the people who have evil wishes. So this is called the force of attraction, the Buddha said. So the same element come together and unite. Right? So the same people, they come together and unite. Those who emphasize development of wisdom will just follow Venerable Sariputta because they have same element, therefore they unite together. And those who incline to psychic power, they have same element, then they will follow Venerable Moggallana, then they unite together. And those who have evil wishes will follow Devadatta. So Buddha say one thing which is very important. The same element will come together and unite. I call this force of attraction. So when our mind is at anger state, let's say, or unwholesome state, anger state, and this state of mind can produce matter produced by mind, a group of particles. And inside the particles, there's fire element, and this fire element can produce another generation of particles, and these particles can travel far. And since it is produced by unwholesome state of the mind, therefore it has very unwholesome energy. And this energy will attract unwholesome energy come upon you. When you generate unwholesome state of the mind, or when you have anger state of the mind, and this anger state of mind can emit unwholesome energy that travel far and attract those same energy or violent energy to come to you, and you will be hurt. I would like to relate also one of my experiences. There are many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I was living in Burma, one day I have some disagreement with my fellow nun. So because of some dispute, then my mind is at the state of anger. So with this anger mind, I went back to my kuti. Kuti is where I stay, the cottage. So I went back through the back door to my kuti. Near the door, there was a dog, stray dog. The dog was there all the time. But at that day, when my mind was at anger state, so when I went back to my kuti, suddenly the dog jumped up and attacked me. And I fell down. Then the dog quickly ran away. At that moment, I cannot understand why the dog attacked me. Because the dog was there all the time. But why that day, particular day, why the dog attacked me? I cannot understand. Many years passed. When I start to understand the power of the mind and the force of attraction, how the anger mind, emit unwholesome energy that attract the same energy to come to you, only I understand why the dog attacked me. Because at that time, I have anger. So this anger state of mind produce a group of particles. And this group of particles can travel and reach that dog. And this, because it's unwholesome energy, positive negative energy, therefore this negative energy trigger the dog's violence. It trigger the dog's violence, therefore the dog attack me. Finally, I understand. Therefore, whenever we have unwholesome mind, anger mind, jealousy mind, violent mind, cruelty, and so on, and this type of unwholesome mind can generate very negative energy that trigger the same energy to come near to you, to come near to you, even to attack you. So in this case, who should be blamed? We. The unwholesome state of the mind is to be blamed, right? Therefore, in order to protect oneself from danger and harm, we should keep the wholesome state of the mind all the times. This unwholesome state of the mind have a bad effect on others, even has bad, very unwholesome effect or bad effect on the whole universe. This is mentioned in Anguttara Nikaya, number 4. Buddha said, if the king, the king of a country, has, if his mind is corrupted, and if he is not righteous, then the ministers, his followers, the priest, the householders, the citizen in the same country, also will have unwholesome mind, a corrupted mind, and also become not righteous. And at that time, if you know so many people's mind are corrupted. And at that time, Buddha said, the moon, the stars, and the sun go wrong in the courses. The wind, the day and night, the day and night, the season, the years were out of order. And the wind does not blow seasonally. The sky does not rain sufficiently and seasonally. And the crops cannot harvest the crop seasonally. So all human beings who live on such crops, will be sick, will become weak. And we are the human beings who live on such crop harvest, and we will become sick, weak. Why? The source comes from the corrupted mind from all people surrounded, or all people in the country or in the world. Therefore, all this unwholesome state of the mind emit very unwholesome energy that can affect even the whole stars, the moon and the sun, and the rain and the wind, and so on. Therefore, nowadays we have so many disasters, right? We have tsunami, earthquake, we have fire, forest fire, and so on. We have so many disasters. If we believe what Buddha taught, all this disaster do not occur accidentally. They occur because of the cause. Causes. What are the causes? The corruption in human mind. So we are one, you know, we are a part of this universe, right? So we have the responsibility to take care of the earth. So in order to take care of the earth, we must develop this wholesome state of the mind. However, Buddha also said in Dhammapada, The mind delight in evil. So the mind tend to become unwholesome rather than wholesome. So if this unwholesome mind arises in us, what should we do? We know unwholesome mind will attract unwholesome energy to come to us and harm us. So if we don't want to be harmed, then we have to change this unwholesome state of the mind, right? Therefore, in Majjhima Nikaya Sutta 20, Vitakka Santana Sutta, the removal of unwholesome mind, Buddha gives 5 ways to help us. When there is unwholesome state of the mind arise in our mind, then we follow what Buddha's teaching and to remove all this unwholesome state of the mind. Let's say, if there's anger arise in the mind, unwholesome state including all the, anger mind, deluded mind, greed, greedy mind, jealousy mind, and so on. Okay, let's say anger mind. When the anger arise in the mind, Buddha said, how to dispel, remove the anger? How? Buddha said, use the opposite state of the mind, the opposite state of the anger, to remove the anger. So what is the opposite state of the anger? Loving kindness, right? Loving kindness meditation. So when the anger arises in the mind, if we don't stop that anger state of the mind, then this anger state of mind will produce very bad energy that trigger other people's anger to you. So in order to protect ourselves and to protect others, so we quickly change the anger mind to loving kindness, loving mind. So at that time, you should generate the loving kindness and may this person, let's say you're angry with one person, may this person be free from, may this person be well and happy, and may this person be well and happy. In order to change your mind, you keep on generate or keep on radiate the loving kindness toward the person you are angry with. But for those who are not familiar or who are not skillful in loving kindness meditation, to radiate loving kindness to the person you are angry with is not an easy task. Right? We may get more angry with him, right? So this one Australian monk, when he was practicing this loving kindness meditation, there is a way, systematical way. So first, we radiate loving kindness to a respectable person that we easily have loving kindness to him or to her, right? Because he's a respectable one. So if we succeed, then we go to the second type of person. Second type of person is a person, is a neutral person. We don't hate and we don't like. So we choose this second type of person and radiate loving kindness to him. And if we succeed, then we reach the third type of person. The third type of person is enemy. We radiate loving kindness to enemy. This is not an easy task. So when this Australian monk, he succeed in sending loving kindness to the respectable person and succeed in sending loving kindness to a neutral person. But when reach to enemy, then the real challenge is there. So one day he went to report to his teacher. He told his teacher, he said, when I tried to radiate loving kindness to my enemy, I was so afraid my enemy will become well and happy. So from here you understand it's not easy to radiate, to wish your enemy to become well and happy. Although mentally you say, may you be well and happy, but in the heart, you don't want him to become well and happy. Therefore, although Buddha encouraged us to, you know, radiate loving kindness when there's anger, but you have to practice this loving kindness meditation first. When you master of it, then you can use it. Before master of it, don't do it. Okay? So if don't do it, then go to the second step, second suggestion given by the Buddha. So Buddha said, try to examine the danger of to try to reflect the danger of the anger. So if you fail in loving kindness meditation, then you try to reflect the danger of the anger. This anger is reprehensible. It's very ugly, not good for me, it causes suffering for me, and so on. And if I die with the anger mind, then I'm not going to good destination. Right? I would like to relate one of the story from my fellow nun. She was English monk, English nun, right? She has the ability to recollect her past life. So she told me, in her past life, she was a male deva. Deva means deity, stay in the heaven. He was male deva. And he fell in love with one female deva. But after some times, the female deva went after another deva, just like human being, same. And this, my friend, he's male deva, he get very angry. He get very, very angry about his female deva who fall in love with other people. And when the anger arises in his mind, suddenly his life is cut off. And he fell from the heaven to the place, she told me, he fell from the heaven to a place full of darkness. And this is the realm of ghost. So he become a ghost because of the anger. He fell from the heaven and become the ghost. This was her past life experience. So one can reflect the danger of anger. When there's danger of anger, the anger mind will emit also unwholesome energy that attract the same energy to come to you. So you try to reflect the danger of the anger. But if one fail, still, anger still very strong in that person, then Buddha say, go to the third step. The third step is try to forget the thought. Try to forget the thought that makes you angry. Or not pay attention to that thought that makes you angry. Just like when we practice meditation, right? When we keep our mind on the breath, suddenly you feel some pain on the leg. Try to ignore that pain. Don't pay attention to it. In the same way, don't pay attention to the thoughts that makes you angry. So this is the third step we can use. And if this still fails, then Buddha say, use the fourth step. The fourth step is try to investigate the cause for your anger. Since the teaching of the Buddha is cause and effect, so the anger is the effect of certain causes. So try to investigate what causes that makes you angry. And try to kill the causes. Try to work with the causes. When the causes is killed, then the effect will disappear. And Many people, you know, the angry, many people have their different causes. So you investigate your own causes and work on that causes so that the effect of the anger will disappear in you. But if this fail again, Buddha said the last choice. The last choice is, Buddha said, clench your teeth. clench your teeth and press the tongue against the roof of your mouth. And use the wholesome and beat down. Beat down the unwholesome state of the mind with wholesome state of the mind. This is the last choice you can use. If the last choice still cannot work for you, then action, right? We are going to perform unwholesome karma, right? If you cannot control your anger and using all these steps suggested by the Buddha, still the anger still persists, I think this person will just act and perform unwholesome karma. Once the unwholesome karma is performed, it leaves behind unwholesome karmic potential, potential. And this karmic potential, when it ripens, when it meet with favorable condition and ripened, and the effect will take place, and you or the person who commit that unwholesome karma will suffer accordingly, according to the karma he had performed. Okay, so therefore, as a practitioner, we must understand the power of the mind. And to protect ourselves from harm and danger, we must always cultivate and develop wholesome state of the mind. Not only for ourselves, also for others, for the whole country, for the whole universe. Therefore, Buddha said, O monks, I do not see even one thing that when developed and cultivated, brings such happiness as the mind. Therefore, we should try our best to develop more and more wholesome mind for the welfare and benefit for ourselves as well as for others and for the whole universe. Okay, so I stop my talk here and we open for discussion. Okay. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, you.
Thank you so much for your lovely talk. You mentioned Bodhisattva, and you were described as a practitioner in the Theravada tradition. I don't associate the that with the Theravada tradition. I think of it as something in the Mahayana in Tibet or China. Is that part of the Theravada tradition, the Bodhisattva?
Of course.
I didn't know that.
Of course. All Bodhisattva is the person who destined to become the Buddha. Right? Then the Gautama Buddha, whether it's Zen or Korean Zen or Mahayana or Japan or Theravada, we all take Gautama Buddha as our teacher.
I thought the Arhat takes the place in the Theravada tradition of who is the Arhat in your tradition?
Buddha is also Arahant.
Arahant, yeah.
Buddha is also Arahant. All Buddha are Arahant. Arahant means the person who had killed all the deformments, no more deformments. no more defilements, only you can become Buddha, right? So all Buddha are arahant. But not all arahant are Buddha, right? So in Theravada, of course, we have Bodhisattva path. I have encountered so many monks, great monks, who inspired to become Buddha, and they are practiced Bodhisattva path.
Thank you.
Thank you. A condition that happens to my mind often is fear.
Mm.
Troubles me.
Mm.
Is fear an unwholesome mind state? And can you say anything about what I can do?
Fear of what?
Fear of unhappiness, fear of failure, fear of people not liking me, pretty much anything that I can think of that would make my life horrible.
Okay. I think fear is something very common. Wherever I go, people ask me this question, right? Fear. So to me, fear of something, to me, is a type of imagination, because you fear of something which is not yet happened, right? So which is not yet happened is something not real. You are worried of something. You are worried or fear of something which is not yet happened. So to me, I don't waste my time. Fear of something which is not yet happened. It's just if you cannot. Cannot control yourself not to fear or not to be fearful, then try to aware of that state of the mind. When there's a fear arise in you, just know that state of the mind, simply a state of the mind, nothing to do with the self, nothing to do with yourself. It's just a simply a state of the mind. So you can contemplate that state of the mind affected by fear, as the mind affected by fear. That fear state of the mind is not myself, it's not myself, it's just a state of the mind. And it is impermanent. You try to contemplate it first, just a state of the mind, nothing to do with a self, not myself. And further, you can contemplate it. This fear state of the mind is impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Only then you will not cling to it. You will not cling to it as yourself, and also you will not cling to it as permanent, always obsess your mind. Right? Okay. Okay, thank you. Here.
Thank you for coming here for the talk. I have a question. I think it was number three that you mentioned that...
try to... Don't pay attention to it, right?
I thought it was like, find the cause of the anger.
The cause, on the fourth.
Fourth one, mm-hmm. And try to kill it or destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
What if, in my mind, that the cause of the anger is like some objective event that I think is objective, but obviously there's some interpretation there for me. So how do I destroy something like that?
Can you make it more clear?
Well, a lot of things cause me to be angry about something, right?
Mm. Out of your control.
Right. So let's say like an event.
Mm.
I mean, without getting personal, I could go a little bit larger and say, oh, the elections happened. I'm really angry about that. I'm really angry about the results of the elections, let's say. So how do I destroy an event or some perception of an event?
This way, Buddha give five ways. The fourth way cannot work, then you can take another first way, second way, third way, and the fifth way. If the fourth way cannot, you know, doesn't work for you. And the last way, which I would like to share in my next talk on 28, how to contemplate the mind. Whatever state of the mind can be contemplated. And don't let that state of the mind be associated with the self, with yourself. If you let whatever state of the mind, you know, especially unwholesome mind, be associated with yourself, or you identify any state of the mind as myself, that state of the mind lasts longer and longer. So you should try to disidentify that state of the mind with self. Then that state of the mind find no foothold to stay long. Then it just disappeared. So this is the last, it's mentioned in the practical way in the Satipatthana Sutta. Try to see that state of the mind as not yourself, as a cause and effect. As you mentioned, it's just a cause and effect relationship. It's not myself, just a state of the mind. It will soon disappear, vanishing. Then try to contemplate, gone. Don't let it stay in the mind. Mm-hmm. Using contemplation, the Satipatthana way, which I will share only my next talk.
Thank you.
If you want to come, you want to learn the way, please come next next talk.
Another question, please. You mentioned you're from, you lived in Burma. You're from Burma.
I live in Malaysia. I'm Malaysian, but I was trained in Burma.
Perhaps you can explain to us something that seems so hard to understand, how the Burmese monks, Buddhist monks, are behaving today in Burma against the minority population there. The Burmese Buddhist monks are acting so violently against a minority in Burma. Can you explain what's going on in their minds?
I have left Burma for 6 years, 7 years already. Okay. So I don't know the story there.
I want to repeat the same question that was asked before. I think I'm a little confused. When Buddha said, if you find the cause for your unwholesome this thing, then destroy the cause. Mm. I guess he doesn't mean the cause outside. He means the cause. He means the cause inside. Yeah. I don't know what he implies exactly. Can you
The cause inside. You know, I think the cause is only our own defilements. For example, Visakha. Visakha is the most generous woman during Buddha's time, right? One day, she wear all white. And with the wet hair, and she went to monastery and see Buddha. And Buddha said, why you look so, you know, unusual with wet hair and white clothes, and with tear on her face. And Visakha explained that her beloved granddaughter just passed away. So she feels so sorrowful. And Buddha asked, if other people die in the Savatthi, do you feel as sorrow as you feel now? Visakha said, no. Then Buddha said, why no? When Visakha said, because the person died has nothing to do with me. They are not my granddaughter. And the Buddha said, there is the cause for your sorrow. What's the cause? Your attachment. Your attachment to your granddaughter is the cause of your sorrow. Therefore, work on that cause. Usually that cause is from internal, from our attachment, our desire, you know, our clinging and so on. I thought Americans like to ask questions. Why do they so quiet?
Hi, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I have a question about the step to try and expunge the unwholesome.
Okay.
Because I know of this teaching, I think a Tibetan teaching that says, when unwholesome thoughts arise, not to repress and not to cling.
Mm-mm.
So it seems to be contradictory to what you're saying.
Okay,
so
not to suppress. And not
repress.
Depress.
Neither to repress not nor to cling.
So how to deal with it?
So I think it means, you know, hold it in a mindful place. Just look at it and you know, don't push it away. But no, don't cling, let it be, I think is the teaching, if I'm correct. So I'm wondering how that fits into your teaching.
Okay, I think what the Tibetan teaching is contemplate it according to Satipatthana Sutta, right? According to Satipatthana Sutta, there's one section called contemplation of the mind. Whatever wholesome state or unwholesome state of the mind can be contemplated, right? So when that state of the mind arises in the mind, we don't push it away and we don't cling to it as myself. Therefore, you contemplate that state of the mind, simply that state of the mind, right? But I think that is not enough. If you contemplate that state of the mind, simply a state of the mind, it will not lead you to liberation as well. So after contemplate that state of the mind, as a state of the mind, you also have to see it's vanishing, it's passing away, it's vanishing, and it's cause and effect. It's an effect of certain cause. If it's an effect of certain cause, it means that it's not a self, it's not a permanent self. Right, so we keep on contemplate that state of the mind as impermanent, as not a self. This way of practice is accordant with the four foundation of mindfulness. Buddha mentioned that it's different way, because some people when whatever state of the mind they arise, they immediately cling to it and identify that state of the mind as myself, right? So Buddha give many different ways. Some are the five ways I mentioned, but the last way I mentioned is in another sutta we call Satipatthana Sutta. So you can use that way as well. That way fit into what Tibetans teaching, okay?
Hi. I was wondering about mind states and what sort of usage can we do of mind states, because we don't control when they arise. So sort of in a skillful way, how can we sometimes just make the best out of them?
Make
good usage of mind states as they arise.
The state, mind state, whatever, good or bad.
Whatever, actually. Like, is it? I guess when it comes to unwholesome, we just want to leave them alone, right? But when it comes to wholesome mind states, I don't know, there's certain like qualities attached to certain mind states that then we can sort of use for any particular usage. Sort of like what I'm curious about. Does that make sense?
So your point is we want to develop more and more that wholesome state.
It's more like I would guess that some mind states are more suitable, more relevant to certain activities.
Mm-mm.
And this is sort of like what I'm curious about, like first of all, can you give an example of like some wholesome mind states? What are some of those mind states?
Like loving kindness, compassion, rejoice in other people's achievement, right? Then reflect the equanimity, one's own karma. One is related, one is born by one's own karma. Whatever happened to us, there is cause for it. Mm-hmm. It's got right understanding of one's own action and karma, one's own action and its result. All these are a very wholesome state. And wisdom, you know, reflect the impermanent nature of all formations and also the concentration. All these are wholesome state of mind.
So can we control, can we control the fact that, can we make those states arise? Can we call those states?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I also thought that there's this sort of like underlying like level where states just show up and we have to be with those states whenever show up.
You have to, when the circumstances arise, you just call that state, let it arise in the mind. You know?
You call the states.
Yeah, call the state, like wake that state up. All these good states are sleeping, you know, sleeping. So when the circumstances arise, you just wake him up and let the state stay in the mind.
I can't give an accurate, I can't trace back where I heard that from, but I just heard that there is one good practice as well, which is to recognize, to identify mind states as they arise, and to just learn to like, how would I say that? It's not even being passive to the mind states as they arise, but to just like be aware of how mind states just arise naturally throughout time and our experiences. Mm. Oh no, I remember actually is like to not go against the states that we experience.
To fully aware what is occurring, occurring at that moment. I think just to aware. Aware, mindful of it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Just be mindful of whatever state that arises at that moment.
Mm.
Yes, that's.
That would be, okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is also one way of the practice. The way of mindfulness.
Thank you.